warning from Bunty. And watch your bloody back, the master. David Petrie had a very sore back. He'd have to get them to change the chair in his commons office. After leaving Moncrief's bar the previous evening, he'd been in a pretty bad way. But he was still a fit guy. Bounced up again at 7 a.m, cool shower and then back to work. He was determined to improve the next speech Murdoch White had given him to show the buggers. His strident, trident speech, as the Times had called it, had made him half-famous and earned a dirty look from the PM's PPS. Now the master's men had been back in touch, telling him to go on the attack. They'd handed him two neat pages of vicious political assassination. It was horrible, but it was beautifully done. He'd been sitting at his desk for hour after hour trying to find even one slipshod phrase. There were none. This was even better than the defence speech, and that had been a belter. The extraordinary thing was that yet again it sounded exactly like him. Who were these people? They were taking words out of his mouth before he'd had time to think them. He almost felt sorry for the poor woman. They'd passed at the barrier coming in that morning. She was obviously an early starter too. She'd given him a smile, but it was rather a blank one. Luckily, they never pretended to be friends. She wouldn't know what had hit her. But his bloody back was bloody sore. He wanted one of those fancy chairs with lots of levers, like the one in the office back at home in Glaycott. But would that come out of expenses? Probably. Then the local paper would run a story about how the new MP had spent £1,000 on a chair, and that would be another lot of voters who'd never turn to him again. Sod it. Thanks to the business, he still had enough money in the bank to buy it himself. He groaned slightly. Bunty, sitting opposite him, looked up.
"Mr. Petrie, man, you're sounding awful. Do you want a throaty?"
Davy had a sudden horrible vision of Bunty offering him oral sex. He answered rather sharply.
"No. A bit of bad back, that's all. Can a man have no privacy?"
"It was only a cough, sweet. Mental."
"What?"
"Menthol."
"Oh, I see. No, it's just that I've been sitting in this chair for too long working on the big speech I'm giving tonight."
"I forgot to see Mr. Petrie. Nasty Neil from the Whip's office was on the phone for you. He wanted to know what you're going to say in your speech, and was it the same as all the shite you'd said in the Daily Mail?"
"And what did you tell Mr. Neil?"
"I told him that as far as I could tell, you were going to make a speech about black ladies' bits. I said it seemed a bit rude, but it was okay because you hadn't written it yourself."
"Bloody hell, Bunty. Why did you say that? The Whip's office hate me enough already. Anyway, I write my own bloody speeches. I do my own heavy lifting."
"Sorry, Mr. Petrie, but it just looked to me as if that speech had been all neatly typed out by somebody else. You've been sitting there for hours pretending to work on it, but you're not doing anything really, are you, Mr. Petrie? I don't think you're very interested in black ladies' bits."
"This is about cruelty and civilization, Bunty. Not that I'd expect you to understand."
Bunty sniffed and helped herself to another throaty. Petrie had noticed that she had settled into her new role in a far more relaxed way than he'd expected. She didn't seem intimidated or much impressed by anything at the Palace of Westminster. Now she resumed the conversation he was finding so irritating.
"Shall I tell you what I think, Mr. Petrie?"
"Go on, Bunty."
"I think it's not about cruelty and civilization. I think it's about shafting that Mrs. Phillips. I think you've been, what do they say, put up to it, Mr. Petrie. Am I no right?"
Petrie flushed. What was it with this girl? Had he made a terrible mistake in bringing her down here? She certainly wasn't stupid. This has nothing to do with shafting Mrs. Phillips, Bunty, except insofar as she has put her name to a ridiculous and damaging idea which I am determined to shoot down. I'm quite capable, thank you very much, of making my own decisions, writing my own speeches. Perhaps you wouldn't mind explaining to me why you don't think I am. This wasn't, he reflected, the kind of conversation he had ever envisaged having with his PA. But Bunty kept going.
Oh, I know you're a very clever man, Mr. Petrie. Mama told me that. She said I had to keep a good eye on you. But see, that piece in the newspaper was really all about that Mrs. Phillips. And the girls down in the Portcullis Café, I say girls, but it's blokes too, all the young folk who work for the MPs, we get together, you see. And we have a wee blether, and everybody says, Mr. Petrie, that you could be going right to the top.
But so could Mrs. Phillips.
The party's going to have to choose. So the girls think, and the boys think, that it's either her or you. I think it's going to be you, Mr. Petrie, because I think the powers that be are on your side.
She pushed the sweet round her mouth, making first one cheek bulge and then the other.
Somebody else wrote that speech. I'm no completely dumb. And by the way, that girl you fancy's been asking around after you. She wants to see you again.
I don't know who you mean.
That girl you thought was a TV researcher, Mr. Petrie. You liked her well enough to buy her a drink the other night. She said you were looking at her bosoms. But she doesn't work on the telly. She works for the old Prime Minister, the one they cry the master. She's really nice. She's called...
Yes, well, I'm sure she's a very nice girl, and yes, I may have committed the major sin of buying her a drink. But I'm a married man. And whoever she works for, she doesn't work for me. In any way.
Oh, well, that's good news anyway, Mr. Petrie. My ma was getting a bit worried. For Mary-like.
You mean to say, Bunty, that you've been passing gossip about my private affairs back to your mother in Glaikit?
Why, sure thing. Ma said she knew you were trying to butter her up like a hot scone, getting me this job and all. But she said it didn't matter because we talk every day. And she said, if you started to misbehave, the constituency would get to know about it straight away and she'd have you by the short and hairies.
Short and curlies, Bunty. Short and curlies.
Aye, well, them too.